Okay. So if you don't know who I am, my name's Andy. I'm the intern for the last few months and for the next month and a half. This past summer, I've been hiding out with Cody back in the sound booth, but I guess today they decided they're going to throw me up front. So we're coming towards the end of the Heaven Code series that Ira's been talking about throughout this summer. So just a very quick recap. We're not going to go through everything because it's been a while. But a quick recap. So we've been talking about how it is not anything that we do to get into heaven. We do not have some special ordering of events where we say we do this and then we're into heaven. We don't have to do anything to get into heaven. In fact, it is God's grace that gives us salvation. All he asks of us is faith to trust him. Not only that, we do not just add Jesus onto our lives as if we're just adding spirituality, saying, like, well, I'm good, but then we got to add maybe this little bit of Jesus to make our, like, that extra bit of good to make it into heaven. No, what's really happening is what we need is to completely change our lives, is to be born again into Christ. And when, last week, even, we talked about how even when that happens, even when we are born again, when Christ completely changes us, we're still sinners here on this earth. We cannot get away from the fact that we will sin here on this earth, and it is our hope and our faith that at the end times, God will change us completely so that we will not sin. And so today, as we're kind of coming to a close of this series, I'm not sure if Cody is going to add one more message or not to this series. Cody doesn't even know, apparently. But today we're just going to look at a very very simple message that Peter gives to us. I don't think it's going to be anything new to you, but it's a good reminder for us. That is that our faith is precious. So the title that I have on there is More Precious Than Gold. And it's just something that I think here, especially in America, where we have all these comforts and we can oftentimes think that we're fine on our own, it is important to remember that our faith is more precious than anything that we have here on this earth. So before we jump into it, let's pray. Dear God, I just thank you for giving us this opportunity to come before you and to worship you, to do so freely and without fear. Lord, I pray that you would open our eyes, open our ears and our hearts to listen to your word this morning. I pray that you will speak through me, help me to speak clearly. And I just pray that your message will affect us. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, so the first thing I want us to realize before we really dive into this passage is a little bit of context. So Peter is writing to Christians. The very first verse of this book, he says, to the elect exiles. So in other words, to Christians who have been exiled out of their homeland. So Peter is especially writing to Jews who have been exiled out of Israel, because Rome had come and essentially taken them away for our last rebellion. They say, no, you got to get out. And so Peter is writing to a whole bunch of believers who have been thrown out of their home. And so they've fallen on a lot of hard times. They can't go back home. They have to find new lives elsewhere. And so for us, what this means is that everything that Peter is saying here, he's speaking directly to those who already believe, to already those who are Christians. And so that'll affect this message a little bit. I want you to keep that in mind as we go through. We'll come back to that in a little bit. But as I said, this message, verses 3 through 9, we want to look at how our faith is precious. And so verses 3 through 5, we're going to read those again real quick. And I want you to pay attention especially to who is doing everything. So verses 3 through 5, starting in the middle of verse 3. According to his great mercy, he has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance that is imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you, who by God's power are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So if you're paying attention to that, we're looking through that, and he's talking about us. But we're not doing anything. So we have been born again, but we weren't the ones who caused ourselves to be born again. He says he caused us, or God caused us to be born again. So God is the one who saves us. So that's the first reason that our faith is precious, is because It's not something that we have to earn. It is not something where we say, I have to please God and get into his good graces, into his favor in order to be saved. Instead, God just says, no, here, this is my gift to you. All I ask is that you trust me, that you put your faith in me and follow me. So it is precious because we don't have to earn that favor, which is good because if you're anything like me, that'd be a bad thing to think about. I'm going through my life and I don't keep doing the right thing all the time. And that's just very encouraging to me to say that I don't have to earn that favor with God. He simply gives that to those who have faith in him. And so that's the first reason that it is precious. We look to verse 4. And he says, we are saved or born again to an inheritance as imperishable, undefiled, and unfading, kept in heaven for you. So the second reason it is precious is because he is keeping an inheritance for us that cannot be taken away. There's nothing that can take this inheritance away. Now, anything on earth that we have here, you can lose it. We can go through hard times. These last 2 years, I know, especially have been hard on a lot of people. You can go through those hard times. You can lose a job, a home, maybe even a loved one. And you can lose anything that you have here on this earth, but you cannot lose this inheritance that God has given to his people. He is keeping it in heaven for you on the last day when he comes again and he judges the earth. He is keeping this safe for you so that no one can take it away. Nothing can take it away. Whether no thief, no disaster or accident like here on earth where we can lose all our possessions. This inheritance cannot be taken away from you. This is the hope that we have in Christ, is that in the end, no matter what happens here on earth, no matter the hard times, no matter what we go through, we can always look to Christ and to God and say, he is keeping an inheritance for me. And so it's important for us to know now that not only have we not earned this, not only do we not need to earn this, he gives it to us freely, but also that you cannot take away this inheritance that he is keeping for us, this hope that we have that on the last day he will give all that he has promised to us. There is nothing that can take that away from us. Not only is God giving to us this inheritance freely, not only is he keeping it for us so that we cannot be taken away and we cannot lose it, but he's also guarding us in our faith. Verse 5 says, who, so we, by God's power, are being guarded through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. So he's guarding us for the salvation on the last day, this day when Christ comes again, and he comes and he judges the earth, where he pours out his wrath on his enemies. He will save us from that, and he will give to us his inheritance that he has given to us, this inheritance that is keeping for us. So not only is it freed for us, not only is it being kept for us, but we are being kept for the inheritance that he has given to us. The moment that we put our faith into Christ, that we say, I will trust in you and you alone, and we decide to follow him no matter what comes, God, from that moment on, guards us for that inheritance, that salvation. There is nothing that can take you away from it. And so that is meant to be an encouragement for us, because it's saying, look, you don't have to do anything. I know oftentimes we try to measure up. We say, well, I got to be good this week. Last week wasn't so great, so I got to make up for it. Or sometimes we think we're taught, even in churches when we're young, you got to obey the Ten Commandments. You got to obey your parents, and then maybe you'll be good with God. I mean, that's not the case here. We say, God gives this to those who have faith in him freely. He gives it without us having to earn it, without us having to get into his good graces. And he keeps us for it. He keeps us safe from losing that inheritance. Not only that, but he keeps our inheritance safe so that, like anything in this life where we can lose it through accident or through disaster or even just these last 2 years, pandemics or market crashes, none of that is going to take away your inheritance that is kept for you in heaven. And so this is an encouragement for us to say, look, we have everything that God has promised to us, and he will not let anything in this life take that away from you. I do want to come back to a point we made earlier, that this is a letter written to Christians. So remember in the very first verse, Peter does write to the elect exiles. So Peter is assuming that these are people who already have faith. These are people who already are deciding to follow Christ and who have decided to follow Christ for their life. This is not written to those who do not believe. And so for us, when we read this, we have to recognize that Peter is telling us that all these things that God has done, he has done for those who have faith in him. This is not for those who do not have faith in him. And this is, I don't say this to just bring you all down, to bring the mood down, but this is hopefully for those of you who do not believe, who do not have not put their faith in Christ, this is an encouragement to say, this is what God offers. He offers an inheritance that cannot be taken away from you. He offers to guard you and your faith for that salvation on the last day. And he gives to us a completely new life, a new living hope of a resurrection on the last day with Christ. That when he comes again, we'll have new bodies and we'll live in the new heavens, new earth with him forever. And so this is the promise that he gives to those who believe. And so for those who do not believe, I hope that this is an encouragement to say, look, this is what is offered to you. You don't have it yet, but it is offered to you. For those of us who do believe, I hope this is an encouragement to say, this is our hope. It is a certainty of hope. It is saying, you cannot lose this. And Peter goes on to actually talk about how this is our hope even. So it is our hope through hard times. So verse 6 says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials. So we have this hope no matter what comes. So we are grieved through various trials. We know that this life is not easy. Like I said, these last 2 years especially have shown to a widespread amount of people how hard this life can be. And I'm sure many of you have gone through hard times. You can't get through this life just coasting by on an easy life. The Bible even promises that life will be hard. Trials will come, especially if you're a believer. So God is not saying that I have a promise for you now that you'll live your best life now or something like that. He's not saying that this life will be fantastic all the time. You'll love every moment of it. That's not what he's saying. He is saying that no matter what happens in this life, in this world that is broken and messed up, that no matter what happens here, you have a hope and a certainty that no matter what happens here, your faith will result in salvation. Your faith will result in this inheritance that is given to you and cannot be taken away. And so in those hard times when life isn't going well and life isn't going the way you want it to, you can always look to Christ, look to God, and know that he still holds to his promises. He will, in the end, give you this inheritance that he is giving, that he is keeping for you. And so Peter then uses an analogy for us to understand. This is what I've titled the sermon off of, is that he compares us to gold, and our faith especially to gold. And he says that it is actually more precious than gold. So gold is refined, it is put into the fire, and it is refined by the heat. It melts down, and the impurities are burned away, and then all you have left is gold. And so that's what Peter's trying to compare our faith to, is to this process of refinery. He says that even during these hard times, so the heat that melts the gold, that burns away the impurities, even during these hard times, our faith is being refined. It is being strengthened. So that doesn't mean we're going to love trials. It doesn't mean we're going to look at the hard times of life and say, yay, I can't wait for those times again. But it does mean that God is still working through those times. And we know that even in those times, that our hope is certain. And hopefully, during those times, we will also grow. Like the gold is being purified through the fire, so also our faith is being strengthened through hardships. I don't know about you, but it's not normally during the easy times in my life where I grow the most. It's during the hard times where I have to learn how to trust God and his promises. And so Peter is saying, look, during those hard times, when life isn't easy and when nothing's going the way that you want it to, is during those times you need to learn to look to God, and you need to learn, in this instance, to always rejoice knowing that your inheritance is certain. You cannot miss out on it. No matter what's going on in your life, whatever it is, God will follow through on his promise. He is guarding your inheritance. Your inheritance in heaven will not be taken away from you. Your salvation will not be taken away from you. And for the rest of eternity, after this world passes away, you will be with God in heaven. This is what he promises for those who believe. And this is what he says that we need to be putting our faith in, our hope in. To put our hope on that inheritance, our hope in that certainty that God is promising to us. And so, just like gold, we are refined, we are strengthened, our faith is purified. But he says, actually, in verse 7, that our faith is more precious than gold. It's worth more than gold. So gold is the best material, the most precious material that Peter can think of. It's the standard for wealth, especially back then, is gold is just the highest standard of wealth. And he's saying, our faith is more precious than gold. Why? Because it obtains the outcome of your faith. Your faith will last. The gold, your material possessions of this life, will not last. Whether it is because we grow old and we die, or because Christ has come, either way, we cannot keep our material possessions here on earth. You can't keep your house. You can't keep your really nice car. You can't keep everything that you own. And on the last day, when God comes to destroy this earth and the old heavens, and he makes a new earth and new heavens, your material possessions will not last. Nothing you have here on earth will last that, but your faith will. Your inheritance that he's keeping for you will. And your salvation will. And he is guarding all these things for you. And so our faith is more precious than gold, because our faith lasts. It results in something permanent, whereas gold does not. So for us, I hope that this message has been encouraging. I think that's the point that Peter is trying to make, is that this ought to be encouraging. Because if you've noticed throughout this message, I'm not trying to say what we should do. We don't do anything. We have faith in God. We trust in him. But we're not the ones doing anything. God's the one who is doing everything. And so what Peter is saying here, his point isn't that we ought to be doing something, but that we ought to just have faith in God, be certain in our hope, and to rely on that hope, rejoice in that hope that God has your inheritance ready for you. He's keeping you ready for salvation. He is guarding you for that day. And he alone is good to do this. He alone is able to do this no matter what happens, no matter what comes your way. And so for all of us here, if I have to apply this in any way to do anything, all I would say is to persevere. It's to say, no matter what comes, no matter what hardships you face, remember the hope that God has given you, the faith that God has given you. Remember Jesus Christ, who died for your sins and who now guards you, guards your inheritance, guards your salvation. No matter what comes in this life, Christ is keeping you for your salvation on that last day. So let's pray. God, we thank you that you have done so much for us. We thank you that you have given to us a new life. You've given to us salvation. You are storing up for us an inheritance in heaven. Lord, I pray that we might be encouraged by that. We might continue to put our faith in you, and that when hard times come, we would learn all the more to put our faith in you, to continue to trust you. In your name we pray. Amen.